going to them.
Good on you, man.
Fantastic. A break coming up here for the 9 o'clock news, and then the great Kevin Horry Hastings is our legend of the game.
People in the U.S. state of Florida are seeking shelter in schools, community centres and churches as authorities scramble to complete the unprecedented evacuation of millions of residents in the path of Hurricane Irma. Irma's core is still expected to come ashore Sunday local time and strike the Keys, southwestern Florida and the Tampa Bay region. The eye is expected to miss heavily populated Miami, but that area will still get life-threatening hurricane conditions even without a direct hit. Florida Governor Rick Scott has urged Floridians to take the danger seriously.
If you've been ordered to evacuate, you need to leave now. Do not wait. Evacuate. Not tonight, not in an hour. You need to go right now. Once the storm starts, law enforcement cannot save you. Do not put your life or your family's life at risk.
Meanwhile, Barbara Sharif, the mayor of Broward County, which includes Fort Lauderdale, has imposed a curfew.
Today, we will be enforcing a curfew due to the tropical storm force winds that will begin to move in to our area.
Former federal government minister Philip Ruddock will return to politics as mayor of a Northern Sydney council after New South Wales's local government elections. Millions went to the polls yesterday to elect 46 councils, with many mayors already taking to social media to claim victory. Mr. Ruddock came out of retirement on a Liberal ticket to snatch Hornsby by a convincing margin. Australia has committed up to $5 million to the Rohingya humanitarian crisis and is calling for Myanmar's authorities to show restraint and protect life. The United Nations estimates more than 270,000 Rohingya Muslims have fled the country for Bangladesh in recent weeks. Meanwhile, the government minister in Myanmar says not all Rohingyas who fled to Bangladesh will be allowed to return. Win Myat Aye, who's in charge of resettlement, says only those who can prove they are citizens can go back. However, most Rohingyas were denied citizenship. A man has been arrested for assaulting a neighbour who tried to break up an argument at a unit complex in Kalanga near Brisbane. The residents of two units were arguing last night when the occupant of a third intervened. He was then verbally abused and struck on the head with a cricket bat. The victim then tried to flee back into his unit, but the assailant kicked in his door and struck him again. A 47-year-old man has been charged with assault occasioning bodily harm and entered dwelling with intent. A suspicious fire has caused more than 50,000 damage to a vacant building in Kilburn, South Australia. The fire on Churchill Road happened around 9 p.m. last night, as Rachel Kinlock from Metropolitan Fire Service reports.
MFS crews wearing breathing apparatus and using high pressure lines quickly located fire in an office which had spread into the roof space. The fire was contained within 15 minutes and fully extinguished within 40 minutes. The fire is considered suspicious and SAPOL are investigating, and the damage bill is estimated in excess of $50,000.
Also in news, a 78-year-old pedestrian hit by a car at Shell Harbour on New South Wales' south coast on Thursday has died in hospital. She was using a designated walkway on Central Road when she was struck by a Holden Commodore driven by a 23-year-old woman. Police are investigating. And Mexican director Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, a dark fairy tale in which a mute cleaning lady falls in love with an aquatic creature, has won the Golden Lion Award for Best Film at the Venice Film Festival. This is AIR News. The US Tennis Open has produced a new women's Grand Slam champion. With the latest, here's AIR Sports' Paul Walsh.
Sloane Stephens has become just the fifth unseeded player in the Open era to win a Grand Slam title when she completely outclassed fellow American Madison Keys in just on an hour at the US Tennis Open. Pre-tournament ranked 83rd in the world, Stephens has had an interrupted recent history due to injury. However, she left all that behind her on Arthur Ashe Stadium as she made only six unforced errors on her way to her 6-3, 6-love victory. For her efforts, Stephens picks up 2,000 valuable points, pockets $3.7 million in prize money, and moves to a ranking of 17. This is Paul Walsh for AIR Sport.
Also in sport, West Coast Eagles have pinched a win from Port Adelaide to advance in the AFL finals, with Luke Shuey awarded a free kick on the siren with his team 4 points down. A quick smile, a deep breath and a place in history as he slotted it through from 40 metres out to give the Eagles the win. James Anderson took career best figures of 7 for 42 at the age of 35 as England clinched victory in the third test against West Indies and a second straight series win at home. The Wallabies and South Africa drew 23 apiece in the rugby, and in NRL, three crucial plays from Bryce Cartwright have breathed life into Penrith for a 22-10 elimination final win over Manly. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Telstra's latest home internet bundle has something for everyone with loads of data plus Telstra TV. It's a simple way to stream to your big screen. Visit your local Telstra store today. We've still got delays heading to the airport. It's still very heavy on Marsh Street, Airport Drive, and now the M5 East at Marsh Street. In Moore Park, various roads near Allianz Stadium will be affected by the NRL game from 10 this morning. We've got a good flow north to the Central Coast on the M1. No hassles on the Hume through Campbelltown. Save on a range of King Living award-winning furniture when you buy two or more items during the Design and Save event. Visit your nearest King Living showroom. Hurry, end soon. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny, patchy early fog in the west, light winds tending east to south, easterly in the afternoon. Large and powerful surf conditions expected to be hazardous for coastal activities, so be careful if you're doing rock fishing, swimming or surfing. But good news is 0% chance of any rain. Sydney heading for a top temperature of 20 degrees today. Jimmy, what about at Waterloo and down at your hometown, Wallumbeen?
Waterloo, the birthplace of Kevin Hastings, currently 13 degrees and will get to a maximum of 17 degrees. Wallumbeen, arguably the most picturesque town in the state. Morning frost, partly cloudy, top of 16 degrees. What a beautiful town.
Racing HQ's News Hour gives you crucial interviews with trainers, jockeys and personalities. Plus, we have all the breaking news.
Darren Pearce is our first guest, CEO of the Australian Turf Club.
We were very delighted to get 24 owners trust us with their horses and apply to be the ATC's representative in the inaugural Everest.
This week, we'll have daily updates on the Group 1 George Bain at Randwick. Plus, all that's happening with the Newcastle Carnival. Back Tuesday morning at 9, Racing HQ's News Hour on Sky Sports Radio.
Favourite grand final?
Have to be 2000 Broncos versus Roosters. Two words, Gordon Tallis.
The raging bull. A rooster can't beat a bull, mate.
Impossible.
Who'll be a legend in this year's NRL finals? It could be you with Tab's great offers and markets. Available on your Tab app at tab.com.au or at your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Experience the best of thoroughbred racing and more. Royal Randwick and Rosehill Gardens are host to the best racecourses and spectator facilities in Australia.
And now, food and beverage prices are reduced by up to 33%.
Along with reduced admission prices when you pre-purchase.
Even more reasons to get trackside.
Enjoy a winning experience from start to finish with great value and great excitement as the world's best horses make history. Book now and save at theatc.com.au.
See you at the track.
He's the little round jug winner! $1 million cam! 150 and 2! The fastest little round jug in history!
$1 million cam. Already the sire of Group 1, Group 2 and Group 3 winners. Visit yurabee.com.au.
Peter gets out of the sack.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Final hour of the program. Looking forward to this game today. It's the Cowboys up against the Sharks. It'll be played at Allianz Stadium. Now, we've had Dave from Wattle Grove who's pointed out an interesting fact for next week, Raymond. Next Saturday, the Giants play at Spotless at 7:50, and I'm pretty sure the Eels are next door at the same time.
And they are. He's 100% right.
Comparisons will be interesting. Dave from Wattlegrove. Yeah, he is right.
You think there'll be a big crowd at the Parramatta game next
week? I do, absolutely.
You tipping 50?
Yep.
Okay. Be a sellout next door at the Giants. We've set about 20,000 at Spotless.
Who are the Giants playing? Adelaide? No.
No, they are...
West Coast.
West Coast, and they can beat West Coast. So
right. So there you go.
Large can get from Randwick to ANZ in time. That's my big call.
Hi, boys. Manly have short memories. What about Jamie Lyon's hand of God that cost the Cowboys a few years ago? Karma, Phil the Dragon. Wasn't that Kieran Foran? Doesn't matter. It was a knock-on from a Manly player.
What he called a hand of God?
Hand of God. That's right. That's what they were talking about. Mm. Remember after that, JT said, oh, there's a conspiracy.
Against the Cowboys.
Yeah. They want a Sydney team to win it. Yeah, tell you what. And then they win it 2 years later.
One of the great grand finals.
So what happened to the conspiracy theory then?
It happens. It's gone. About our teams.
Absolutely. Kevin Hastings coming up very shortly. He's our legend of the game. We'll get a sports update from Tanya as well. We'll speak to Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster as well. And, of course, we're always keen to take your calls on 1353 53, or indeed the SMS on 0419 767 272. We're looking for the great escapes after some really cracking games of football in both codes. What is the great escapes that you've seen? It doesn't have to be just in the semi-finals, could be at any stage. As you mentioned, Headingley in 1981. And 1981 brings us nicely to Kevin Hastings, because he was at the peak of his powers there, winning awards left, right and centre. He was a star for the Roosters for many, many years. An absolute legend and loved by Roosters supporters. It's great to have him on the line as our legend of the game. Good morning, Kevin.
Jimmy and Ray, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, we're really well. Can you just answer me this before we get going? Is Howard Hastings listening this morning?
You know where I left Howard Hastings, because I'm out and I'm just sitting in underneath a pergola, and Howard Hastings has got his eyes closed and napping as he usually does for most of the day.
Right. But is he listening to the program, Kev?
I'm not sure if he's got his radio on or not, mate. He was asleep when I left him.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. All right, we like to ask this of the sports stars that we speak to. How did rugby league come to be a part of Kevin Hastings' life?
Well, Jimmy, I went to school at Mount Carmel Common School. We were just up the road from where I grew up. And, football came to my being about 7 years of age. I went home and I spoke to my parents, and the nun was going to be my first coach, and God bless her. My mum didn't want me to play, but Dad said, yeah, no problem. And I started off at hooker because the team had already been playing a couple of years, and then I progressed from there to captaining the side for three. After that. Played 3 years there and moved to St Mary's Cathedral.
Yeah, there you go. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us. When did Jack Gibson first notice Kevin Hastings?
I'm not sure. It was probably during the season, my first season in 76. I was just happy to play 23s that year and maybe a couple of reserve grade games. And I think it was about six games towards the end of the season. I got the call up to play first grade, and I thought it was a joke at first. But, lo and behold, there I was playing with legends of the game, even the great man Arthur Beetson. So, yeah.
What about those influential figures? And you've spoken to me about this previously. What was it about Jack Gibson? What was it about Arthur Beetson? And I understand Bob Fulton had a huge influence on you, how you prepared for games and how you looked at the game.
Yeah, exactly right. Gibbo wasn't obviously a man of many words, but whatever he said, you listen. He was a he managed people really well, as they say these days. If you're a man manager in the game of rugby league, you're doing pretty well. Plus, obviously, have the ability to coach. That helps as well. And then Beetso, just his aura of being around him. You know, such a big personality and just a great player and just an iconic figure of the game. And then there was Bozo, who, when he first came to the club at the Roosters, I watched him train. And it wasn't just the training, what we did as a whole, but what he did either before or after, which made me think, well, if that's how you get to be the best, then, I want to do that. Mm. But obviously he had a ton of ability as well, and one of the immortals. So yeah, not a bad bloke to follow, really.
Yeah, great bozo. Kev, when you get called into grade and you mentioned playing alongside some of those names that are just legends of the game, you're 19, 20 years old is your second year in first grade. When did you start feeling comfortable and that you could compete with these guys and this was, you know, you were good enough to play at that level?
Oh, well, my first year was 19, I was, and I really couldn't believe it. And I was in the centres, and, you know, that's where I'd played a fair bit at school, plus I'd played half and 5/8 and a bit of hooker. But and then I got demoted the following year, and then lo and behold, I got picked against Penrith at Penrith because Johnny Mays had pulled out.
Yep.
And I rocked up to play reserve grade, and they said, no, mate, you don't. You'll be playing first grade. And I went, oh, okay, and you'll be playing halfback. I went, oh, God. but I had the great man Bob Fulton outside me at 5/8, which made it a little bit easier. And then I would say that year and the following year, and then I became really comfortable with it. I thought, you know, I'd like to say that it was my team, in relation to, you know, I was able to run it,
yep.
And Bozo was coaching. Royce, he was captain, and a great captain and a really good player, Royce. I saw some footies the other day. I forgot how really good he was as a player. So, so it took a couple of years, and then I was fine with that.
Mm. The competitive instinct, Kevin, which I know still burns brightly in you at the moment. I remember when I first went to the Roosters, there were guys around the club, you know, the gear stewards and so forth, who had been at the club for a long time and had been there when you were there. And they used to say things like, Kevin Hastings would want to win the warm-up, let alone everything else. Where did that competitive instinct come from?
Oh, look, I really don't know, Jimmy. I mean, my dad... Oh, funny thing is, you talk about Howard, right? My dad says the other day, he says, because we argue a fair bit, as we do, we butt heads, I live with him, I take care of him, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, what is this about you? He said, oh, I'd like to win the argument. I said, what do you mean? This is not an argument. He goes, well, I want to win. I said, yeah, but we're arguing. He said, yeah, but I still want to win. So I suppose if you look at it that way, and I didn't really know, that's where my competitiveness came. Mm. Yeah, so... but, you know, as I said, I'd want to win everything, yes. Not that I would, but it'd be nice to, yeah.
Well, that was born out during a wonderful career, Kevin. 239 games at the Roosters then. So many highlights throughout that career. But I guess one thing that, as a person who admired you as a footballer, was it frustrating that you were born in an era of so many great halfbacks and that representative honours sort of... You know, eluded you for so long, that one game for New South Wales off the bench, but up against the Mortimers and the Stirlings and the Alexanders, and Kevin Hastings was as good as him.
Yeah. The funny thing is, Ray, it's like this. I was blessed to get the ability to play the position that I was supposed to be meant to play at halfback, only by fluke, you would say, or someone's misfortune, Johnny Mays, who I ran into the other week. Mm-hmm. And, I look at it like this, you know, it was a privilege to play against all those guys like Stirling, Mortimer, Morris, Alexander, and the list goes on, you know. It was just a pleasure to play against them. My goal every game was to play better than my opposition, and, you know, that your number, meaning number seven, and I tried to do that. Sometimes it worked, the majority of times it did, and sometimes it just didn't, so... That's the way it goes. But, yeah, I got frustrated later on. The 82 Kangaroo Tour was the thing that stands out for me. It was, in my opinion, this is not sour grapes. In my opinion, it was just politically motivated because two New South Welshmen, so you got to take, in those days, you took three halfbacks. Yeah. And they took Murray from Queensland. Yeah. So, you know, good luck to him and bad luck to me, I suppose.
Yeah. Who is the first among equals then? Of all those players that you mentioned, who do you consider the best you played against in that position?
Oh, in that position at that time, I would say Peter Stirling without a doubt. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you had Turvey who would, you know, he chip chase, great cover defender. Then you had Stevie Morris who just, you know, out and out speed. But then you had Sturlo who was just, you know, quick between the ears, you know, could do it all, had a good kicking game, his defence was pretty good, you know, he just, but not, not only that, he had a great backline outside him, which helped. But, you know, being the number one, number seven, you're the linchpin between your forwards and your backs in those days. So that was, he was my man, I'd say, at those days.
That's interesting, Kev. We had Ray Price on last week.
Yes.
And Ray Price made mention, too, that Pete Stilling was the best player he played with or against. And on that same theme then, Kev, the best player you played with and against. You mentioned Royce Aliff earlier, but and now Peter Stirling. Who was the best player you played with and against?
The best player I played with against, oh, God, that's really hard, you know, to say. But I'd say, for me, it was Bobby Fulton, the best player I've ever played with, just because he brought out the best of me. And I didn't play with him for, you know, I think it was only two seasons, but then he coached. So... that's the best player I ever played with, and but that's really hard to against. I don't really know. There were so many great players. You know, you probably there are some players that you just didn't like playing against. One of those players for me was Rod Reddy. I hated playing against Rod Reddy because he was such a tall, lanky guy, physical. But when you'd go to tackle him, he'd plant his feet, but they were so far apart you couldn't really get him down, and it was just. You know, he was just a phenomenal player. I mean, there are so many players that go by, but he would be probably one of the best players I've ever played against. Mm. Oh, and Mark Graham from North Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Rates right up there. Yeah. He was just a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal footballer, a great guy, and, yeah, just amazing player.
My favourite player skills. Growing up, yeah. Mark Graham, my favourite player. 1980 grand final.
Yeah.
To play so long with such success, and you know, we've talked about individual success, but to miss out on that team success, Kev, does that still burn?
Yeah, I think, you know, people talk about what's the ultimate in rugby league. I think as you're playing with a group of players for the whole season, for many seasons, to win a grand final, that would be the ultimate. Mm. And you watch these guys that are, you know, winning in the... jubilation you see on their faces after a long, long season, you can understand, you know, what it means to them. And you can also understand what it means to them for the losers too when they sit down there. And like for me, you know, I was devastated like many of us that day. But, you know, it wasn't to be, Jimmy. It was like on that day and the following year when we got knocked off by, I think it was Newtown in the final, you know, it just, wasn't meant to be, you know. 3 years minor premiers and never won a grand final. So that's the way life goes, I suppose.
In that big one in 1980, Kev, it was only 7-4 at half time, and there had been a try earlier that Canterbury scored in that first half. It looked dubious. And
Did you go to the bunker on that one, Kev?
Yeah.
Wish you had it back then.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what was the team thinking at half time? And going back through the team list, gee, there's some names there, isn't there, Jimmy? Look at Kerry Boasted, Noel Cleal in the centres, Marty Gerrett, fullback, Kenny Wright's in the halves with Kevin Hastings. Look at the forward pack, O'Reilly, Tobin, Aliff Lane. What was the thinking like at halftime when you're down just 7-4?
Yeah, I think we all thought that we could still win the game, but we were flat that day. We were really flat. We'd had a really hard build-up to that training-wise, and I heard later on that the Dogs, you know, they just relaxed virtually, played a bit of touch and stuff like that. So, and we... you know, I mean, I think we were pretty much flogged, but, you know, that's, you know, you don't know what's going to happen on the day. And then I think the reserve grade went into extra time, so that prolonged, you know, our waiting time.
Nervous energy.
Nervous energy, and we changed. We all met at the Leaf Club, whereas I would have much preferred just to go to the game that day, but we had all changed the routine, and I didn't sit well with, you know, how we played, but, you know, that's the way it goes. But we thought we could have won, but, you know, that's the way it goes. That forward pass to Chris Anderson when he scored, that was a forward pass. And he would like to say, have a look at the line, and you could see that I'm behind the line, and that, but that's okay. But then they come out with that freakish try at the end, and that's one of the most amazing tries you're ever likely to see.
Steve Geering try.
In that situation especially, you know.
Hey, Kev, tough times for you at different stages in your post-footy career. How are you travelling at the moment?
Well, Jimmy, it's not going too bad. I on a little bit of medication, as you say, and it helps me, my happy pills, as I call them. Mm-hmm. But we all struggle, and I do worry about kids playing our game, not only our game, but, you know, in general, children and, people going in their 20s, 30s, and even 40s and later. But with these kids playing football, they have high expectations of themselves, and they don't make that expectation that they've put themselves into. And so I often think when they have enough time on their hands, what are they going, you know, what's their thought patterns? So it's nothing wrong with you, and I always wear this band on that says, "Are you okay?"
Yep.
And it reminds me of to not just say, "How are you going, mate?" You know, you genuinely, are you okay? And I know you're going out to do that Chad Robinson golf day,
yep.
Which is a worthy cause. And a young girl mentioned you the other day that I takes one of my classes, and she saw my band on it and on my wrist, and that's. She brought that up as well. So, yeah, we're traveling all right. You know, we have our good days, bad days, but I try to look at it this way. Exercise is my stimulation for my brain as well as my, you know, obviously health and mental health as well. So that's a big part of everything, eating well and just exercising and try and see a positive rather than a negative in life,
really well
which
said,
is really hard with a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have a lot of stresses. You know, stress is good, but not this sort of stress. So,
great advice, Kev.
Yeah,
really,
absolutely.
Really awesome.
Great to have a chat about it. An unbelievable career. Great to hear you're doing well. Actually, I know you're doing well. You're the world's fittest 60-year-old.
No, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Hey,
yeah, thanks, mate.
Great to have a chat this morning, Kev.
Ray and Jimmy, thank you very much for inviting me. It was it's a real pleasure. Thanks, mate.
It was our pleasure, Kev. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Kevin Hastings, one of the all-time great Roosters, as our legend of the game.
He spoke very...
Yeah,
well
he's a great fella.
Inspirational bloke. Yeah.
Yes.
And you're right, he is very fit. He does those personal training things.
Ray, you're very fit.
Mm. Kevin Hastings fitter.
Kevin Hastings is just off the charts fit. Yeah. 13:53:53, the open line number. Time now for this. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Manly coach Trent Barrett was shattered last night, not just because his team was eliminated from the NRL competition, but because he feels the Penrith try to Tyrone Peachey should have been disallowed because of a possible knock-on, and a disallowed try to Dylan Walker after he was ruled offside was incorrect. The elimination final between Manly and Penrith was desperate. It was bloody and brutal. The Panthers winning in the end 22-10, and they will go on to play Brisbane next Friday night at Suncorp. Parramatta almost pulled off what would have been one of the greatest finals boilovers ever, leading 10-4 at the break against Melbourne in Melbourne, eventually going down 18-6. Storm skipper Cameron Smith says their tight victory proves that the NRL Premiership is wide open and that they will need to improve to win it. The Eels now look ahead to next Saturday night, where they'll play the winner of today's game at Allianz between Cronulla and North Queensland. Melbourne and the Roosters have the weekend off. Australia was on its way to its first victory at the Rugby Championships last night in Perth, leading South Africa 20-10, before the Springboks piled on 13 unanswered points to take a 23-20 lead. Then a Bernard Foley penalty levelled the scores at 23 apiece, and that's where it remained. Wallabies coach Michael Checker says his team need to develop a killer instinct after watching them yet again let go of another potential victory. Meantime, the majority of the 17,500 at NIB Stadium wore Western Force jerseys and chanted "Force, Force, Force" throughout the night in protest of Rugby WA losing its appeal against their sacking during the week. Lance Franklin says he'll be okay to play against Geelong next Friday night at the MCG after spending the final quarter of the elimination final yesterday against Essendon off the field. The Swans flogged the Bombers by 65 points. Franklin went off with a cork, having shrugged it off in the opening quarter, but by three-quarter time he had to rest it. Last night, the match between Port Adelaide and West Coast went to extra time after finishing at 60-all. Port went to a 13-point lead before the Eagles fought back, and Luke Shuey kicked a goal after the siren to beat Port by 2 points. The Eagles will play GWS next Saturday night at Spotless. American Sloane Stephens has won her first tennis Grand Slam, easily beating fellow American and good friend Madison Keys this morning in the final of the US Open, 6-3, 6-love. The 83-ranked Stevens is only the second unseeded woman to win the tournament in the Open era. The men's final tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. sees Rafael Nadal versus number 32 in the world, Kevin Anderson, after Rafa beat Juan Martín del Potro in the semis in four sets. Both are 31, and head-to-head, Rafa is up 4-0. Socceroos goalkeeper Matt Ryan got his first English Premier League win when Brighton and Hove broke both their EPL goal and winning drought overnight with a 3-1 win over West Brom at the Amex Stadium. Manchester City thrashed a 10-man Liverpool 5-0. Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 0, Everton 0, Tottenham 3, Leicester 1, Chelsea 2. Watford go to fourth on the ladder after a 2-0 away win over Southampton, and Stoke held Manchester United to a 2-all draw. And Aussie Scott Hand leads by two shots. Late in the third round of the European Masters Golf in Switzerland, rain delayed the completion of the third round. Hand is at 11 under. Fellow Aussie Marcus Fraser is 3 off the lead at minus 8. Now, boys, spare a thought for poor Scott. He, as I said, leading the tournament in Switzerland. His wife, Leanne, is his caddy this week.
Is that why we should feel sorry for him?
No, for that.
Just clarifying.
Both are a little distracted, however, because both their children are back home in Florida with the babysitter.
Ah.
Yeah, and so they're very unsettled at the moment. As you can imagine, the parents are in Europe and the children are in Florida. Scott's saying, we're a bit worried about the kids with the sitter at the moment. We've been up late at night trying to work out contingency plans for them.
Oh, wow.
I think they're going to get out of there. I hope so. It's not worth the risk.
No.
Get out of there.
Yeah, that's very scary,
times.
And he's leading the tournament by two shots.
Good
going into the final round.
Concentrate.
Yeah. And the test series in England between the English and the Windies completed overnight. England won the second test to take, the third test win the series 2-1. There was plenty of cheers, as you can imagine, at Lord's, but the biggest cheer was for Henry Blofeld, who received a standing O. It was his final.
He's retired.
Was it really?
Commentary. Yeah.
Blowers,
the blowpipe. He's retired blowers.
He has, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the voice of English cricket,
yeah.
Almost, isn't he?
Yeah. 1972 was his first broadcast for the BBC.
Wow. That's a career.
Jimmy Anderson took his 500th test wicket, too, at Lord's.
That's
during
a career.
Test match, and he is bowling unbelievable.
Yeah, he's on fire.
They're going to be hard to beat England.
But Henry's most memorable test was the 81 test at Headingley that you mentioned this morning.
Oh,
the Botham test. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, keeping good company.
Yeah.
Just earlier, Tanya made mention of your scratchings, and then Ray's best bet was one of your scratchings. So is he not listening to you? Is there anything you want to tell us? Or
you're the schmuck.
Nothing for the press. But yeah, that's evidence.
Nothing for the press.
Nothing for the press, but that's evidence right there. Not listening to me.
I love the fact. There you go. Thank you, John. I love the fact too, Tan, that you wore the Eels jersey in today, even though they had a loss.
I know.
There's a lot to take
and
out.
And I would
loss.
Never do that. I would
but
never
no,
do that. But
well.
I was so proud of them. They played so well. They almost beat the unbeatable in
the
inverted
true.
Commas
at home.
At home.
Yeah.
It was such a so much. Confidence, hopefully they'll take out of that going into next week.
And before Jimmy does start stirring up trouble where it's not wanted, we've known each other for how many years now? Or
been together for 7 years.
5 years. I've never had a crossword, James.
Right. No, you're going to the Parramatta game this week?
On Saturday night.
Saturday
we
night.
We were talking about that, but it's a little bit late.
Yeah.
Don't start till.
Will you be right for tickets? Do you want me to try and organise anything?
We'll be fine, don't worry.
A break, back with more Big Sports Breakfast
He's a hard
weekend.
Man.
It's true,
hard
though.
Sky Sports Radio presents the latest in greyhound racing every Monday morning. Going Greyhounds host Dave Carlson speaks with owners, trainers and club officials and spots the future winners. Monday mornings, 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
Whether you like a bet on the horses, ponies, greyhounds, dogs, trots or chariots, there's never been a better time to get on Trackside. With bigger odds on every race, you've got more chances to win big. Head to your local tab to get on Trackside. Gamble responsibly.
Everyone knows a festival is only as good as its lineup, and this year, Volksfest 2017 boasts incredible deals across a wide range of Volkswagen models, like the new Amarok Core 4x4, tougher than ever, and yours from only $40,990 drive away, including impressive features like Diff Lock, App Connect, and rear view camera. Don't miss out on this season of great deals during Volksfest 2017. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. By the way, I was lucky enough to be at the Hurstville United Centenary celebrations last night. Gee, they were cracking bunch of guys.
They look after you.
Fantastic. Really good. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. The Struggos.
Mm-hmm.
That's their nickname. So if you want the official... What are you laughing at?
That's a good nickname.
Good nickname, us, the Struggos. I know that. So if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan and the team at Z&Z Westfield Hurstville, or visit znz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are the proud sponsors of the St George Junior Referees.
The man who can see the crowd now.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, the board's lit up. A lot of people want to have their say, I dare say, about the refereeing last night. One of those on the line is Scott. Scott, good morning.
Morning, Ray.
How are you, Scott? What have you got for us, mate?
Just in regards to the bunker system, obviously the amount of money that's been invested in it, it's not going to go anywhere in a hurry. So it obviously needs to be tweaked. Like the NFL system, where they have the on-field referee makes the final call after viewing the footage on the sideline. Like, why can't the bunker system look at something like that? The captains have a challenge system. The on-field referee makes the call and he has the final ultimate decision instead of giving it to someone else.
Are we convinced that it'd make it better?
Well, at least it takes the guesswork out of a second opinion, doesn't it?
I'm all for taking the pressure away from the referees in any way, shape or form. That's why I don't know, Scott, why the captain's challenge hasn't been explored more thoroughly.
But obviously where the breakdown is, it's going from the on-field referee, where he's making the first decision, and it's going up and someone else that's not even on the field is ultimately making the final call, whether the evidence is there or not.
That's a pretty good point, that.
You know?
Yeah, because you're then giving them the initial view live, and then you're giving them complementary evidence.
Scott says it happens in the NFL. So.
Yeah, that's right. And as Zorba said this morning, you know, we're trying to find a way to not allow the try to be given, whereas the benefit should, you know, ultimately be given to the attacking team, really, if in a try situation.
Well, if you look at it, sports, this is an interesting one to look at it, Scott. In all sports, the benefit of the doubt is given to the defender. Because in cricket, a batsman is defending their wicket. Mm-hmm. So benefit of the doubt to the batsman.
Yep.
So should the benefit of the doubt go to the defending team?
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but then you're arguing...
Well, you're
it's
arguing
a tough
one there. Oranges and
apples. I'll tell you what, though, really good call.
It is an excellent call, Scott.
Scott's in the running, I reckon.
Scott's in the running, right?
Yeah.
That means you get an asterisk next to your name, Scott.
Awesome. That's the highlight of my Sunday. Thanks, awesome.
You know what? So I reckon give 2 tickets to Scott for Winks next week.
There you go.
Yeah.
Where are you, Scott? Where are you based?
Taree.
Taree. Would you come down and watch the Winks?
I can damn try.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Right. Stay in the line, Scotty. It's a really sensible call. And if you can, it'd be 2 tickets there for you for Winks. So stay in the line, Scotty.
And by the way, Scott, that's all courtesy of the ATC too. So thank you very much to those people.
Brett Devine and Tracy White, thank you very much.
Brett and Tracy, thank you very much. Hello, Storm Boy.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jimmy and Ray. First, I want to say thank you for a very good show.
Thanks, Storm Boy.
Good on you, Storm Boy. Thanks for listening.
I was just wondering you, Jimmy, and Ray, just to clarify why Cameron Munster was sent off for 10 minutes, and then Tanya explained to me that it was a new rule put in.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it was definitely a sin-binning offence, Storm Boy.
Yeah. Well, it surprised me. I'm asking people, what did he do? I couldn't see him in the replay.
So what happened was, that you're right, because it happened very quickly, and I don't think they got to a replay because...
No.
So they took a tap. You're allowed to take a quick tap, but only outside the 10-metre zone, and they were 12 metres out. So that can't remember exactly who it was who took the tap, but Cameron Munster was inside the 10 metres and interfered with that attacking player. That is just an automatic 10 minutes in the sin bin, no matter where you are on the field.
Right, okay.
And we've seen it.
It just made me angry too, Jimmy, that, you know, the Eels played, elbowed that guy right in the front of the referee.
Daniel Alvaro.
He put him on report,
yeah.
But he didn't take him off the field. That doesn't help Melbourne at all.
No, it doesn't. And to be honest, I'd be very surprised if Daniel Alvaro attracted anything other than a fine coming out of that. You know, anything heavier than a fine, I'd be really surprised. He did hit him with an elbow, but it was almost like pushing him away. I don't think he tried to elbow him,
fair enough,
per se.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Good on you, Storm Boy. Appreciate the call.
Good
13 call, 53 53. Hello, Chris.
How you going there?
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Look, I just want to comment on Adrian's call this morning. Mm-hmm. I'm also of the belief that the league has missed this window of opportunity today. I know you said, James, that the two games yesterday were interstate games in the AFL, but they were still games. The league are very happy with the TV ratings in Melbourne and the level of attendance. And I think today was a window of opportunity to showcase the game. I mean, we're going to send a State of Origin game down there again this year. And yet, for some reason, today when there's no AFL on, apart from the VFL, but no AFL, this would have been a great day. And they didn't do it. And
but Chris, they got 23,000 there.
Sellout, wasn't it?
Or not much? Quite, just short. Yeah. 23,000 there on a 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon.
Like, exactly.
And there was no AFL being played in the city.
Yeah, but what about the TV ratings today? I mean, they were still watching. Unfortunately, in Melbourne, they all love their AFL. Melbourne is their second favourite team, apart from their AFL team. It would have rated the roof off down there.
That's
and in 2 weeks' time, we got the same situation. We know that Richmond are playing on Saturday in 2 weeks' time because they've already got their game set in concrete. So the league have to work around that. You know, this is what they're not doing, I don't think.
So are both AFL finals next year, are they both on Saturday night?
No,
the prelim finals. The prelim finals. Richmond are through, see?
Yeah,
Richmond, sorry.
But
yeah. So GWS play.
They play against Melbourne. That's what
Yeah,
that's
but they're playing on
Chris
Saturday. We know that already.
Yeah.
So we avoid the Richmond game down there with the Storm.
Yeah,
okay?
I mean,
that's what you have to do. That's what you call thinking ahead, and that's what the league have to do.
Like, but I'd imagine there's a complete inflexibility around what you can do around...
both those prelim games in NRL on Saturday?
Broadcasting rights.
Are they both on Saturday?
No,
games?
In Melbourne, one's Friday night, Geelong's Friday night, and, I'm sorry, Adelaide Friday, Richmond Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, with the NRL...
So you just want to flip it around?
With the NRL, we've got the same... Well, I don't know what they can do around it, but obviously the Storm should not be playing at the same time Richmond are.
Well, do you have to work backwards from the games previously and say, well, you can't give one team an eight-day turnaround and another team a six-day turnaround?
I don't know, because...
won't happen, Jim, because they're... It's Friday and Saturday.
They play on Thursday now in Melbourne because of ratings. You know, because they rate well interstate games on a Thursday for the semi-finals, so they've started doing that in Melbourne. Mm. So we know now every year that they will not be a Sunday game in the first week of the semis, and we know what's going to happen in advance, so we have to work around it with the Storm. I think it's really important that we do it.
I agree, Chris. So I'm just getting you on the details there, and you may well be right. All I'm saying is that, you know, we have to take into consideration short turnarounds or shorter turnarounds and all that sort of thing. But I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. You have to acknowledge that there's a 500-pound gorilla in the room, and that is the AFL, and you need to take it on head-to-head, but you need to be...
Give yourself a chance.
Flexible.
Yeah, give yourself a chance.
Smart around that. Mm. So... good call.
Yeah.
Good call. As
in
per
the
usual.
Running, Chris.
1353-53, the open line number. Break, back with more.
Sun and Cullen, I'm the mighty Quinn, the widest runner. Turning our chain of command lead. Smiling shard, Sun and Cullen. I'm the mighty Quinn out wider. Sun and Cullen hit the lead. Sun and Cullen in front of Smiling shard and Sun and Cullen. The New Zealander wins the cup.
Sun and Cullen, winner of just under 1.5 million. The richest entire son of Christian Cullen. Winner of four Group 1 races. From a New Zealand Broodmare of the Year, standing at Urabee Stud. Visit urabee.com.au.
Jarlow's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Jarlow's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Jarlow's Junior Pie 12 packs. Just perfect for the kids, Mum. Jarlow's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Jarlow's by name. At Jarlow's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Now at Trackside, you'll get better odds on every runner, every race. That's runners 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 12, and on all codes, dogs, trots, and the thoroughbreds. So head down to your local TAB and get on Trackside today. But remember, gamble responsibly.
An absolute joy to be here. A little mini classic early in the season.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. There's a little bit of debate going on here, isn't there? It's fair enough. It needs to be. I think that's healthy.
Chris has hit the nail on the head, though.
Oh, I agree.
You want to give yourself a chance.
Yeah, you need to be flexible.
Yeah.
Then you have to be careful about having an inferiority complex and saying, oh, well, I did that. You know, we don't want to do that because the AFL...
We're talking about
that.
Melbourne in Melbourne.
I'll tell you what the other thing you need to remember is that Melbourne, the AFL, if you're under 16, you get in free on a Sunday. Anywhere. Any ground. Get in free. One of the things, and there are many, but one of the things that is a barrier to attending for rugby league games is price.
100%.
Need to have a look at that. 1353-53, the open line number. I believe Trent Langscale. Hawthorne, when do they play their semi-final, Ray?
Not this year.
Oh.
He's still dining out on the flags they won this millennium.
Is he? So. Yeah. Hello, Trent.
Good morning, fellas. The storm was pretty good yesterday as well.
I'll tell you what. There's some bandwagons. You've fallen off one and jumped onto another one.
Absolutely not. There's plenty that are falling on a Tiger bandwagon, I'll tell you that now.
Yeah. They're just converting their brown and yellow into their black and yellow, right?
Well, they are going to be Victoria's team, I think, Jimmy, because I reckon this time next week Geelong will be also out, so there will be only one Victorian team left.
In Richmond, How about today, Trent? This is a big one, the Sharkies versus the Cowboys.
Well, the 4:10 at Allianz Stadium here, Ray, and Cronulla, they're $1.35, and North Queensland, $3.30. The line there is 8.5, and almost 80% of the support is for the Sharks to at least continue their premiership defence for one more week. In the margin betting at the end of normal time, you've got the Sharks by 13+, $2.40, and then 1-12, $2.80. The Cowboys 1-12 at $4.50, by 13 or more at $9, and draw at the end of normal time at $23. And no surprise, the first try scorer is dominated by Cronulla players. You've got Sasaia Fecky and Valentine Holmes. They're both at $8. Jared Beale at $9, and then Jack Bird at $10. So that's today's remaining game in the first week of the finals, fellas. But we've already got Brisbane and Penrith up for probably next Friday night, where you've got Penrith at $1.42 and Penrith $2.85. The line there is 6.5. And on the premiership, well, even though they did scrape home yesterday, Melbourne are still odds on and commanding favourites at $1.70. The Sydney Roosters at $4.50. Parramatta $11. Brisbane and Cronulla $13. Penrith $21. And North Queensland the $81 outsiders. But obviously there'll be some change after the match today between the Sharks and the Cowboys, but the Storm $1.70.
And we've got some AFL games for next week, the finals. Geelong, as my wife called it, up against Sydney.
Well, they'd have to improve tenfold after what they did on Friday night, Jimmy, but Geelong are $3 and Sydney, hot stuff, $1.40. So that'll be Friday night at the MCG. The winner of that will play Adelaide in the preliminary final. And then Saturday night at Spotless Stadium, you've got GWS $1.40 and West Coast $3, getting out of jail again last night. And the winner of that will play Richmond in the preliminary final. And on the premiership in the AFL, Adelaide the $3 favourites. Richmond, they seem to have the easier path, if you will, to the grand final at $3.25. Sydney at $4.25. GWS $8, and then Geelong and West Coast $17. But it wasn't hard to get too excited, fellas, on Friday night with 95,000 there at the G, and I reckon there was about 75,000 still left after the siren, and 70,000 of them were Richmond supporters.
Yeah, it was amazing scenes. Just going back to that game last night, West Coast against Port Adelaide, there was a really key refereeing or umpiring decision where there seemed to be a touch, and they called it a six-pointer, which in the end cost Port Adelaide the game. Is there much hand-wringing in Port Adelaide and the Adelaide newspapers going berserk about the umpiring decisions?
Oh, I reckon there would have been with the eventual decision that was the one that decided the game, Jimmy.
I didn't think that was too bad. I thought that was a high tackle.
It was high, wasn't it, Trent? Had to be a penalty. Free kick.
They don't like those ones where the player seems to sort of accentuate the contact.
But his arm was over his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, I know that I'd want to see the umpires after the game just to make sure they got out, because the Port Adelaide fans would have been letting them know everything when they were getting out. But, I mean, there was actually, when Port Adelaide got 14 points up in the first period of the extra time, I think Josh Kennedy kicked a goal and the player, it looked like the boot was, hand was on the ball as it was being kicked. But the only thing is they say they review every goal, and as soon as the ball was bounced, that was it. So that was another contentious one. But it was surprising to see a free kick paid against the Power like that, considering they're the home team, basically to decide the game. So I was a bit worried for the umpire safety last night.
Oh, well, I'm worried about you too, given the performance of Hawthorn this year. But, Trent, hopefully a big pre-season, and you can back bigger and better than ever next year.
Just waiting for 2 weeks, guys. The Storm home preliminary final. Oh,
yeah,
Sparks,
yeah,
well,
yeah,
don't
yeah,
you worry.
Yeah, yeah.
Good on you, Trent.
Go the Storm. Good on you, Trent.
Thanks, guys.
Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. Jimmy and Ray, I can't tell you my sorrow and despair at Manly being on the end of some marginal calls last night which ended their season. I remembered the pillaging of South and West players in the 70s, the bizarre series of refereeing decisions, including seven tackle sets in 1978, the disgraceful refereeing of Charles Manson's decision in 1996 to allow Matthew Ridge to get up and run after he'd been legitimately tackled by Nathan Brown, which killed the Mighty Dragons. Yep, my heart bleeds. That's from Don from Carlton.
He always nails it, Don.
He always nails it from a perspective. There you go.
It comes from a slightly differently. We've got calls on the line.
Yeah, we better go to them.
We have to now. Running out of time. Matt, good morning.
Now we go with Shane.
Oh, Shane's here. Shane, how are you?
Ray, Jimmy, how are you, boys?
Terrific.
Really well, mate.
Jimmy, that was a great interview with Horry. You'd probably be aware of the story I heard many years ago when the Roosters signed up Dave Triwella to come in and replace him at halfback. The competitiveness of Horry, they reckon he lined up at every sprint session next to Triwella, every weight session, every long distance run, just drove him insane just to say to the Roosters officials, I've still got plenty left in the tank. Yeah, every Rooster supporter I know regards Horry as the greatest Rooster ever.
They love him.
He was a great player. And he was dead set robbed of that kangaroo tour. How Muppet Murray went on that. The political situation of rugby league back then was a disgrace. It still is now in certain aspects. But, I mean, he was a great player. And he drove Triwella mad with every single session. You know, I think they had to move Triwella to lock the first few years.
That sounds like Kevin. That's what he would do. Just he'd wear you down. You know what he would have been good on? AFL where you're just one-on-one.
You just have to wear them down. You love those competitors on your team.
Yeah. Good on you, Shane. Good call about the great Horry. Yeah, appreciate that. I think Bob the Bear O'Reilly gave him his nickname, Horry.
Yeah, what does it mean? Just because it
started with H. Horry Hastings. Yeah. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys. Hi, first time caller.
Good on you, Matt.
I just wanted to ring and talk about the forward passes and the offsides in the NRL. Mm-hmm. Why can't the NRL investigate in the same technology the Premier League used to judge offsides on TV?
Do they use the line?
Yeah, well, they've got that line where any point in the stadium, doesn't matter what angle you're on, where the camera is, you can get a dead set straight line across and you can read if the player was offside.
It's in the NFL too, isn't it, I think?
The next thing will be for forward passes too, and that can be a little misleading because you can throw the ball backward and it floats forward.
Well, what if we just use it for onside-offside kicks like last night?
I don't mind that, Matt. Mm.
I don't know if anyone's investigated.
Well, if the bunker costs $2 million, then probably it's going to cost $2.05 million to get the line in. Like, you know,
the same thing's used in NFL. The technology is there, isn't it, Matt? So,
well, how come we don't use it? I just don't get why we don't use it. Like, we watch all these errors every week and we don't use it.
Matt, sing the song a lot of frustrated supporters.
It's completely legitimate, the question you ask. My point is this. Who's taking it on board at the National Rugby League? Who is listening? Who is responding? Who is thinking ahead of the curve? Who are the people in there that are doing it? Because, to be honest, the more it goes on, we had an SMS here earlier, Matt, talking about succession planning in the referees' ranks. Well, what succession planning? Grant Atkins is the young guy coming through, and he doesn't get a game this weekend.
And someone said earlier, they're reactive, not proactive.
Zorba said
it. So many things,
Give the girls a go at reffing too, maybe.
Well, Casey Badger's in action today in the under-20s game. So, the Sharks up against the Eels. It'll be a cracker. You can watch it live on Fox League in high definition, uninterrupted by ads. So,
you commentating, Jim?
Oh, yeah, Matt.
Yeah, he's commentating. Of course he is, Matt. He had to get a plug in.
Good on you, Matt.
Good call, Matt. Ring again,
good
mate.
Good call. Can we get Matt a prize?
Absolutely. Prize pack for Matty.
Stay on the line. Stay on the line there, Matt. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster. He's not at the back of Coles today. Hang on a minute. Studio to Scotty. Come in, Scotty.
Yeah, blue skies over here.
Where are you, just out of interest?
Mate, I'm actually just out the front of Luna Park. I'm here with an exchange student over from overseas, so we bought her to Luna Park this morning to show her around.
That'll do me. If you'd have said to me, where is Scotty Foster right now? Luna Park doesn't come in the top 100. But anyway, now listen.
Good family man these days.
Tell us... What are you suggesting he wasn't at one stage? Is that what you're suggesting?
No, we all learn from our past experiences, don't we?
Well, you were going to say mistakes then, weren't you?
Past experiences, I said.
Toyota Corolla sedan, I believe, Scotty.
Yeah, we have. But before I forget, I think Midnight must be overseas. He sent me a WhatsApp this morning. He said to let Ray know he wanted to give you a tip. Race 4 at Musselbrook.
Okay.
Here we go.
He's on the money.
Pindara, I think it was called.
Pindara. Oh, Pindara. No, I like Pindara. Yeah,
he's already on it.
Yeah. No, I like Pindara.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. All the way from the USA.
Well, hopefully.
He sent me a message this morning.
Well, hopefully great minds think alike, Scotty.
Yeah. Well, you might be in a bit of trouble, mate, if you're backing yourself with Midnight.
Or maybe Midnight's saying the other way around, maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway.
Now, but back to this car, yep. Boys. It's a beautiful 2008 Toyota Corolla sedan. We had one of these a few weeks back, and it sold very quickly, so I've got another one today. They're very reliable. They've got the powerful 1.8-litre four-cylinder engine and a four-speed automatic transmission. They're Australia's most trusted car in its class due to its reliability and economy. It comes with the safety of dual airbags, traction control, dynamic stability control, ABS brakes with brake assist, and the comfort of air conditioning and power windows. It's a one owner, this one, with logbooks and full service history. The car looks and drives sensational. It's sensational value today at just $8,990 drive away. So go to the website, www.fosterscalitycars.com.au. And don't forget to mention, to give Sky Sports Radio a mention, receive a free three-year warranty with that and any of our cars.
Yeah, great deal. And you've got some great finance packages available too, Scotty.
We certainly do. We've got some great rates and great packages for everyone, but we're also helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. If you've had credit issues in the past, if you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, or you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, go to our website, www.fosterscalitycars.com.au, or give us a call now on 9637 5024, because we can get you driving a vehicle as soon as today.
Big weekend next weekend for Wenny with the grand final qualifiers, Ron Massey Cup and Sydney Shield. How are they looking, the boys?
Yeah, boys pumped. They got this week off because they won last week. But we do have four big games of footy at Ringrose today. That's the semi-finals for the New South Wales Rugby League, the other game. So, you know, we'll be down there watching and see who we're going to be playing next week. Mm. So if you want to get out and watch some football, go down to Ringrose Park today, because there's going to be four great games starting from 10:30.
And the Eels not too bad yesterday?
Mm. Well, boys, I think the Storm will be crapping their you-know-what, so if they have to play Para again, because Para, I thought, you know, they weathered the Storm early, then got on top and probably really should have won that game except for a few little mistakes. So I think Para can get them next time.
Yeah. They're in the contest, Para, that's for sure.
Yeah, good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
All right, boys. See you later.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Fosterscalitycars.com.au is where you can check them out.
Hey,
right?
James, who's our winners?
Our winners today, yeah, most definitely. Unfortunately, Bob was very good, but he can't make it to the races. So we've given away a couple of tickets, courtesy of the ATC, to next week at Royal Randwick, to Scott and to Chris.
Terrific.
Chris talked about going head-to-head with the AFL in Melbourne.
They both get to see Winks in the George Main Stakes and Chautauqua likely to be back in the shorts.
Oh, that'll be interesting to see how the big fella comes up. Coming up on Racing HQ, Gary Harley with a full preview of Musselbrook, and then John Scores will preview Gundagai. And don't forget, of course, the Big Sports Breakfast tomorrow morning at 5:30. Slats and TK
Quick
back
tip
in the
today,
chair.
Jim.
Oh, I think Cronulla do it comfortably.
Yeah, Sharks should win.
Yeah.
They're brave, the Cowboys, but they've been undermanned all season. They've done a great job just to get there.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ray. Mm. Is Scotty Foster at Luna Park early for the BSB lunch in March? That comes from Paramount. I don't think he is.
I don't think so.
Early could be wrong. Enjoy your semi-finals, everybody.
Enjoy your Sunday and
enjoy your sport.
With Cozzy is back. Thursday mornings at 10:30, Sean Cosgrove returns for another season starring the larrikins and legends of racing. Hear their stories unfold.
Great characters, a whole lot of fun, and there's always surprises.
Chinwag with Cozzy on Sky Sports Radio.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. 3 years roadside assistance for free on all passenger vehicles and CX-3. Plus a $500 Mazda accessory pack and Mazda factory bonuses. See the Mazda expert today. Penrith Mazda, 2016 Mazda master dealer. Family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith. MD 18808.
If you're getting the latest big screen 4K TV, what's the most important thing?
Choose from the top brands. There's a huge range at Bing Lee.
What's the second most important?
Choose the right one for you. Talk to our TV experts at Bing Lee.
And what's the third most important?
Get it installed correctly.
And right now, get a free wall mount or tabletop installation and delivery when you buy a Samsung, LG, Sony, Panasonic or Hisense 4K Ultra High Def TV 55 inches and over at Bing Lee.
So go to the home of TV, Bing Lee.
And they're off. Italian suit takes the lead, followed by Jimmy and the members. Down, he takes a seat. It's not his seat. He goes inside. He's on the dance floor, first in best dress. He takes the win. And a cheeky canapé. Champagne all round at the cocktail bar.
Expect unexpected at Colgate Optic Wide Stakes Day this Saturday at Royal Randwick. With an all-star lineup of racing, award-winning hospitality, fashion and entertainment. Wear a splash of red to celebrate the